The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We're back. Robin and I are here. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
Our guests this morning are Steve Keithley, the founder of Hunters of Maryland, and Bill Miles, their advocate or lobbyist, whatever you would like to ascribe to him. And we're here talking about the wrap-up of the General Assembly. And the foremost focus was the right to fish and hunt in Maryland. And Bill very adequately and aptly explained what happened to that and what that means to hunters and anglers in Maryland. We now have a right recognized by the General Assembly, and to attack our rights and attack our traditions and lifestyle has just become a little bit more difficult here in Maryland. Not that it won't be attempted by various groups and so forth, but it will be. So, Chris, do we have any callers on the line?
Yes, we do. We've got Fran.
Well, let's talk to Fran. Good morning, Miss Fran.
Good morning, Fran.
Yes, good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Steve, if somebody calling all that. I am so happy. You know, last Saturday, when you said we wouldn't vote till Monday, I thought, oh, no, last minute, you know. But congratulations. I really appreciate what you guys do behind the scenes all hours of the night. And I want to say this. You know, I think a lot of people may not understand the importance of this going through by law to have a right to fish and hunt. And I want to remind them of one thing, and I'll ask you guys if you agree. Remember what happened to your rights to have access to water. All over the world, including the United States, people are being denied the access to water. Compare the two. You
sure
don't want that to happen to your right to fish and hunt. What do you think?
Well, when I was in Washington, this was very hotly debated. I think you're partially pertaining to marine protected areas where under the Antiquities Act, a certain designated piece of water would be off limits to any kind of access for commercial or recreational fishing because it was a pristine area and you wanted to preserve this. In some cases, I think around Hawaii, it was 800 square miles of marine protected area. And people in the fishing industry were, you know, back then up in arms, 2007 and 2008 in particular, where these particular pieces of water were, you know, were basically off limits to the public. And I don't know if that's in particular what you're talking about, but that is one way that access to water has been blocked by the federal government for sure.
Well, really what I was basically putting it to is just an ordinary guy on the street.
Yeah.
In order to have access to water in your home, you have
yes
to pay for it. If
sure
you don't pay for it, they'll shut it off. All over the world, as a control thing,
I see,
they have denied people access to water.
Okay.
For bathing, drinking, washing your clothes. It should be a God-given right. But this is what could happen, in my personal opinion, to the right to fish and hunt if you don't keep an eye on it.
Very well said, Fran.
I agree.
Well, Fran, go ahead. Fran is one of those unlikely people you would expect to see at a hunting event, a fundraiser, a rally in Annapolis, or anything else. But Fran was there from the beginning and stayed to the very end. And we appreciate her coming on board and being very vocal and very supportive and helpful to the hunting community. And she actually got to participate in a hunt. Did you not, Fran?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. I've experienced things I never thought I would experience in that world, and I'm so happy that I was given the privilege to do so. And everybody, congratulations. Have a great week, and thank you so much for your hard work.
Thanks for the call, Fran.
You say, thanks for calling in, Fran.
Have a great day, Fran.
All right. So we had a number of things come up. The right to fish and hunt was the big one, but we have a couple of other things, and I alluded to it with Jack as far as the firearms House Bill 200. That would have prohibited access to a firearm by a minor. The bill didn't pass, but, Bill, you were instrumental in a amendment to that bill that took out the provision that said anyone under the age of 18 cannot handle or possess a firearm, which would have eliminated our entire, cadre of youth hunters out there.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, the bill was put in last year,
right,
by the Mothers Against Gun Violence.
Yes.
And the way the bill was introduced, it would have deleted from the section of law access to a firearm had the individual received firearm competency and hunter safety. And I called the sponsor of the bill, and I challenged him on the argument that that section is deleted from the law, that anybody under the age of 18 will not be able to have access to a firearm. That means they couldn't hunt. And we went back and forth for about 3 days on it. And you got to remember, this is a friend, but they're a lawmaker, so you have to be respectful when you differ with them.
Sure.
And so I said, look, please just go to the Attorney General and see if you're right or I'm right. If I'm right, then we fix the bill. If you're right and I'm wrong, then we leave the bill as it is. Well, I knew what the answer is. I haven't been a committee staffer for so many years. So, sure enough, got a phone call. Bill, I apologize. You're 100% correct. And we'll put an amendment in. Well, the bill didn't pass last year, but the bill was put in this year. But I got a call in, September, I believe it was. And I had a conference call with the lobbyists for the Mothers Against Gun Violence and the sponsor. And they both said, look, we're putting the bill back in, but the amendment that you convinced us to add to last year, we're going to put it in just so you know so you don't have to fight us this year. I said, thank you very much. The bill was put in. It didn't go anywhere.
Right.
But had it passed, you would have been able to, especially last year, you would have been able to hunt. And you couldn't have fixed it for an entire year.
Right.
This past hunting season, you wouldn't have been able to hunt with a firearm. Bow and arrow? Absolutely. But firearm, no.
So no.
That was one. And now if you really want, there's a lot of other stuff here real quick we could go through.
Well, let's do.
How you want to handle them.
Sure. Let's say House Bill 175, a required criminal background check on purchasing ammunition.
Yeah. You all know about that NICS system, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. That bill would have required, if you would have went to Anglers, for example, to buy a box of shotgun shells because you wanted to go.
Or one of our sponsors, Bill.
I don't have that list in front of me. I wanted to go to Clyde. Okay. I stand corrected. You wanted to go to Clyde to buy a box of shotgun shells. You would have had to have the NICS background check. So could you imagine? Every time you went, and you have to do it for a firearm now. I mean, no one's arguing that. But I mean, for a box of shotgun shells, a little small box of .22s.
So unbelievable.
We were able to. We put so much pressure on that sponsor and that committee. The bill was withdrawn.
Yes. Commercialization of venison.
Ugly, ugly, ugly issue. The Maryland Farm Bureau has declared deer vermin. And they basically want, in my personal opinion, I think the farming community wants to see every deer exterminated. They have so many tools in the box right now. I mean, they, you know, for 2 months out of the year, they can shoot them at night. We fought that. It would have been 12 months out of the year had we not fought them under the Maryland Hunting Coalition.
Yes, we did.
You've got the deer management permits. That's basically 7 days a week, 365.
Any weapon
of choice.
Yep.
Any weapon of choice.
Yep.
And but the farming community put a bill in 2015, Alan, and you testified with me before the Senate.
I did.
It would have commercialized the sale of venison, meaning the law would have designated whitetail and Sitka as livestock. And we went down there and argued that how dare anybody try to commercialize the sale of a publicly owned resource for pecuniary purposes. And we prevailed. Well, 6 months, those cicadas were underground, and they surfaced this year again, this time by way of Montgomery County, because Montgomery County was arguing that DNR wasn't doing enough to help them control their deer herd. So they put the bill in, and we were like, had to go fight that one.
And well, wasn't the precursor of this bill the Anne Arundel County bounty for deer? Montgomery County wanted to or Howard County wanted to have the same type of program, and you know Montgomery County has always been overrun with deer just because of their particular urban suburban mix of land and you know population. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know that was a bill that was floated, I believe.
It was one factor in the big equation, Alan.
Yeah.
Remember the commercialized, you know, the what Anne Arundel did, which was deemed illegal, but no one challenged it. I mean, and how can a county, you know, go against the attorney general who ruled against what they did was a bounty program in Anne Arundel County.
Right.
$50 per deer harvested. We
right.
No cap. Just go there and kill all you want.
Right.
But the livestock bill wasn't a bounty program.
It's no.
Just meant you could just go out there and kill and kill and kill and hopefully sell it, which would have created a black market. It would have created poaching problems. I mean, it was just ugly. And we went down there and we got the bill withdrawn. And what we did was and Hunters of Maryland did this. We worked with, surprisingly, the Humane Society on this and convinced the General Assembly for language that we wrote that directed DNR to focus on the Montgomery County problem only, because their alternative proposal as a condition of the bill being withdrawn was to do a year-long study statewide of all the deer problems in Maryland. That just would have kept the Farm Bureau's fingerprints all over a commercialization of venison. In fact, during the Zoom testimony, I was asked by the sponsor, would you be willing to sit on this task force? And I said, absolutely. But with the understanding and condition being that at the end of the day, being 9 months later, if a proposal's in there to commercialize the sale of venison, we will be having this very same conversation. And he goes, fair, so be it. But by getting the language in the budget focusing only on Montgomery County, that took the fire out of a statewide study. And I don't think Montgomery County is going to come out by itself and say commercialized venison statewide.
Right.
So, for once again, we have stopped that. But the Farm Bureau is hell-bent on getting that through. And the only one with the finger in the dike stopping that is the Hunters of Maryland.
Got it. Gotcha. Coyotes.
Coyotes. Well, I remember the Cal No Rays issue a couple of years ago where, you know.
Well, very well.
Yeah, well, anyway, some people just took videos and, you know, you land a ray if you're able to, and they used to get these little bath, they had these contests, and you'd catch these rays, and the most you got, I guess, or whatever. I never participated in them, but they'd take these bats, the little hands, these little baseball bats, and once they landed them, they'd stun them and then put them in this big barrel, and people photographed it, and they went down to the General Assembly and said, look what these people are doing to the Cal No Rays. And the General Assembly said, oh, my God, we can't do that. So they passed a bill saying no contest for Cal No Rays. Well, the same thing happened, I guess, a couple years later with a coyote contest. Don't know exactly where it was. It may have been Western Maryland, but same thing. And it was some basically questionable, disturbing graphics that the advocates argued were barbaric, and the bill didn't pass last year because of COVID, but it came back this year. And some of our friends in Western Maryland were like, you know, we need this contest to help curb the coyote population expansion. So I went and talked to the sponsors, and they were like, Bill, this bill has left the train, let it go. So you have to be careful on when you deal with lawmakers. You know, it's hard to, you can't beg with one hand and badger with the other. So you got to be judicious in how you pick your arguments. So because the bigger issue was the coyote population, and hell, on my property here in Calvert, I see a lot fewer raccoons, a lot fewer possums, a lot fewer feral cats, and the people I talk with are saying the same thing, that both domestic and these indigenous wildlife are being, you know, eaten by coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
When they're the fawns of deer. So what we did was we got, because we couldn't stop the coyote bill, we got language in the budget directing DNR to study the issue and report back to the General Assembly. DNR's not very happy about it. They say they don't have the resources and the manpower, but, you know, they're just going to have to find it because the governor has the authority for any legislative directive they don't have the money for to basically adopt the a deficiency budget amendment to pay for it. So it falls on deaf ears with me when I hear they don't have the money. All they have to do is go to the Department of Budget and Management and argue that they have to have the money to comply with the legislative directive. So we'll wait for the November 1 study for Montgomery County on the deer issue, which will be public. And then we also wait till December 1st when the coyote study is due. And the Hunters of Maryland were responsible in working with lawmakers and others to get those two through.
There was disturbing, from Western Maryland, there was some disturbing photos that I received of a pack of coyotes waiting for a pregnant cow to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
And before the calf had cleared the birth canal, the coyotes had it by the nose and dragged it from the mother down into the woods where the pack devoured it.
Oh, my God.
I'll send them to you if you like, if you need to make your case.
I fought that issue on the Sunday hunting bill 3 years back in the early 2000s.
Yep.
In fact, those who basically were arguing against the Sunday hunting actually had something similar.
Yeah,
but they actually had a video of a cow elk with an arrow through its neck.
Oh, please!
The hunter stepping on the head to kill her, while the wife was filming it, going, "Kill her, honey, kill her." And I was like, "Well, there's no elk in Maryland."
No,
that was such a barbaric scene.
It was
tried to basically, you know, get the emotion.
influence a lawmaker.
Yeah, and we over. But I tell you what, the committee members wouldn't even look at it.
I don't blame them.
But anyway, that was. Yeah, so there's all kinds of. No, I wouldn't want to see that.
All right, hang on, Bill. We got to take a break here, but we're going to talk to Glenn real quick, and then we'll take our first break. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, Alan. Ron.
Hey, Glenn.
How you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Okay, I guess.
Good.
On the top side of the grass, anyway.
That's the main thing.
That's it.
On the thing about the having to get a background check to buy shotgun shells and bullets. Well, the feds are busy enough trying to get background checks for to buy a gun. This will really overwhelm them.
Of course they're busy enough. I mean, sometimes you've got to wait, you know, a couple of hours to get your instant check because they're so backed up. No question about it. You're right. You're right, Glenn. So, hey, thank you, buddy. We'll talk soon, okay?
Right. Okay. So take care and everything.
All right, Glenn.
You too,
bud. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Glenn's a good listener. I like talking to Glenn.
Me too.
Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater invites you to their new location. It's at 3137 Solomon's Island Road on the northbound side near Advanced Auto Parts. Give them a call at 410-956-0300. Now, Bay Country Crabbing Supply has everything you need for recreational commercial crabbing and freshwater, tidal, and bay fishing tackle, too. And now Bay Country Crabbing Supply has a new hunting department, complete with Hoyt, Prime, and Matthews bows, with more on the way. Bay Country Crabbing Supply, stackable traps, commercial pots, live bait for fishing and crabbing, ice, rigged trot lines and trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of fishing tackle and gear. Bay Country Crabbing Supplies open house is April 24th. And Robin and I will be broadcasting from there from 5 to 7 a.m. For more information, call 410-956-0300. That's 410-956-0300. Hey, Waterman, attention. Bring your license for your discount. BayCountryCrabbingSupply.com. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit 9, and they have your full supply of live bait, fishing tackle, rods, reels. They'll put new line on your spool. You can get your fishing license there. You can get your rods repaired if you break the tip off of your rod or guide. They'll take care of that as well. And, of course, they carry handguns and long guns. Yeah, so some ammunition, what they can get, they get and they put it out. And, you know, they have it available there for you. Clyde Sports Shop also has great gunsmithing services. I just had my old shotgun taken care of. I had a shell stuck in it. They got that extracted, cleaned everything up, and made it work like new. And it looks great, even though it's older than dirt. Oh, I got
sorry.
Well, it doesn't have a choke tube or anything else. It's my rabbit hunting gun. I've had it since I was 15 or 16 years old. So, anyway, they're a full-line Browning dealer, and you can give them a call at 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. They're open 7 days a week. So, it's time to pull the trigger and dress up that backyard for the coming summer. Get your deck cleaned up and get a nice grill put on there from Backyard Billy's, a Traeger grill or a, you know, Big Green Egg or a Kamado Joe. You put it off long enough, spring has sprung, and you can get a new picnic table and chairs in poly or hardwood. You can deck out your deck with Adirondack chairs so everybody can sit and relax. And, you know, when you stop in, you're going to see a ton of stuff. I mean, a ton. You'll find swing sets and tiki bars and storage sheds in Backyard Billy's backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and delivery to Maryland and Delaware beaches. And inside their showroom, there's all kinds of barbecue grills and fire ring. I love the fire rings and those freestanding fire pits in your, you know, that you put in your yard and build a nice little fire in your yard and sit around and make s'mores and cook marshmallows and weenies with. Browse the great-looking garden decorations and furniture for any lifestyle, theme, and budget, and Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. BackyardBilly's.com. Call 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500. Open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look great. We'll be right back.
Well, the weekend underway and some good-looking weather here across the Mid-Atlantic. Big upper-level low to our northeast, leaving the northeast coast. Brought some snows to parts of New England last night. Mostly cloudy for us today, high 63, low 45. Sunshine Sunday, Monday with upper 60s near 70 degrees. Tuesday up to 72 with sunshine. And then another shot of colder air coming in long range Thursday, Friday for the upcoming week. I'm Scott Lauriemore at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We all want clean water, and that pond on your family's property really needs cleans. Vegetation has overtaken it, and sediment is slowly filling it in. You know, something needs to be done, and you have questions. What chemicals can I use? Will the fish die? Do I have to hire some guy with a backhoe? How expensive will it be? Legacy Waters Environmental Services has the answers. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is a family-owned, Maryland-based company that has invested in the specialized equipment that hydraulically removes sediment and vegetation from ponds, lakes, and waterways. They use no chemicals. The fish remain alive with no need to restock, and the choking vegetation and invasive plants are gone. Gone. The best part is Legacy Waters Environmental Services is committed to providing affordable solutions which will revitalize your pond. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is dedicated to leaving the smallest possible footprint and to preserve the quality of your waterway for generations. To learn more or schedule an appointment to review what your pond requires, visit the website legacywatersenv.com or call 410-357-1622. And you can see the job site videos on the Legacy Waters Facebook page. Call 410-357-1622 for Legacy Waters Environmental Services, leaving water better than when we found it. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, a weekend warrior, your Line-X bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any other kind of tools, your Line-X bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Line-X at Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Cadenceville Line-X is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Line-X at Glen Burnie and Cadenceville Line-X can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called ValueGuard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Line-X at Glen Burnie or Cadenceville Line-X install your Line-X spray-on, truck bed liner, and truck gear today. Line-X. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680. WCPM.
Right now, he's probably out grazing with the corn-fed doe, and he's probably getting frisky. Right now, he's probably checking her scent for a little estrus, and he's willing to get risky. Right now, he's probably up behind her near the salt lick, right where I got his photo.
That's a new one, Chris. That
I like
new
it.
Yeah, no question. All right. We are back with Steve Keithley, founder of Hunters of Maryland, and Bill Miles, the advocate for Hunters of Maryland, our hunting warrior when it comes to legislation in Annapolis. So the biggest victory this year was the right to fish and hunt as recognized by the General Assembly. And we've been talking about some other issues that came up before the assembly and the issues that the Hunters of Maryland were involved in. So, Bill, take it away. What's your next one? Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay.
Senator Bailey mentioned the Sunday hunting issue. You got to keep in mind a couple of things when you think about Sunday hunting that a lot of people probably don't understand. There were six Sunday hunting bills this session, and they all flew out of the House of Delegates. Okay, and the same thing happened last year. They flew out of the House of Delegates, and they hit the Senate committee. Well, the Senate chair is not a real fan of hunting in general, and I think Sunday hunting in particular. So the bills for the last 2 years haven't gone anywhere. So there will be some that will argue that, oh my, you know, Sunday hunting doesn't exist, we don't have it. Well, Sunday hunting began, like you briefly mentioned, back in 2003. This is after of prohibition in Maryland since 1723. So just imagine having overturned about a 300-year-old law. And even the archivist said that he's never seen anything like it. I actually have a copy of the original bill from 1723. But what happened was only 12 counties consented back in 2003 for Sunday hunting. One day archery, one day firearm, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That became law. When the bill hit the floor, only 12 counties consented. The rest did not. And so since then, the way we have our model set up is that the local governments themselves have to determine if they want to join those 12 counties and or expand upon it. And since 2003, all but three counties right now have Sunday hunting, principally on private lands for deer only, with the exception of five counties that have, it's a different kind of authority. They have it too, but I'll explain that in a second. So, you know, the model's working. And just because the bills failed this year in the Senate like they did last year, as Jack said, we have stand probably a better chance next year. But all those bills that died already had expanded Sunday hunting. They just wanted more Sunday hunting, and they had to go through it themselves with their hunters and sportsmen through the local governing body to even get a bill to their delegation in Annapolis.
Right.
So Sunday hunting is alive and well in Maryland. Okay. Now there are five counties right now that have changed the law to give DNR the regulatory authority to set seasons for them, from squirrels to deer. That's Allegheny, Cecil, Garrett, and St. Mary's in Washington counties. Okay? They have deferred statutory authorization to annual regulatory permission by an executive branch. There's two schools of thought. Would you want something guaranteed in statute, or would you want to trust the bureaucracy to set your Sunday hunting? And if the counties want to go trust the bureaucracy through regulation and no longer statute, then that's their choice. Most don't. Okay, because what if you ever have an anti-hunting governor again, which conceivably is very possible.
In this deep blue state, it's more than conceivably possible.
Exactly. So the point being, Sunday hunting in Maryland is working. Okay. Now, there has been a lot of talk about waterfowl Sunday hunting. That's still a very controversial issue. And until the waterfowl community really gets behind it, which you talk to anybody mainly on the shore and they're opposed to it, the last thing you want is to take a statewide Sunday hunting bill, which has not been one since 2003, and go down there and have fractions within the hunting community go down there and argue against it. That is a sure way for something to die quick. If and when it happens, I'd love to have Sunday waterfowl hunting, but until the stars are aligned, you don't do it. Because that's the kind of stuff that could backfire and hurt us. Okay, so the Sunday hunting bills that died this year, they already have it. They just wanted a little bit more. The other one was another one, real quick, Alan, is the goose issue. Okay, right now, you know, we're going on the third year. This coming season will be the third year of 30 days in one bird for Canada geese. Okay, why? Because we don't want a repeat of what happened in 1996 when we had a six-year moratorium because the breeding pairs and reproduction rates were so low that the biologist, there's a threshold, and you get below that line, it triggers basically a conservation measure, which, you know, one bird 30 days is, you know, pretty conservation. And but for resident birds, okay, which are mainly, you know, west of the 301, but there are some on the shore. You have three seasons. You have September, parts of September, parts of November, and then from December to March. Okay, but you really only on the shore. You only have really September. If you kill a bird in September, it's a resident. If you kill a bird, you know, in mid-March, it's a resident. But Senator Bailey, you know, we conferred with him, and it was basically his idea that we agreed with. Put a bill in to say, okay, during the 30-day one-bird migratory season, which they call AP for Atlantic population, those on the shore during resident could only kill one bird instead of five each day. And the argument was it was conservation. We wanted to send as many breeding pairs back as possible just in case the DNR biologists were wrong and that there are some breeding, there are some AP geese mixed in with the resident birds during the November and the December through March season. And we were not successful. And I think largely because we put so much political horsepower behind the Right to Fish and Hunt bill, we just, you know, you only have so much fuel in the tank. And I think, you know, whether or not it comes back next year is not my call. But again, that bill was not, was only designed to maybe guard against the possibility of killing migratory birds that are commingled. DNR didn't like it. They said, we're the scientists, not you. But what does common sense tell you? If you can hunt birds for basically almost 90 days through three different resident bird seasons, and again, November and December through March, west of 301, isn't there just a remote possibility that you could be taking down some of those migratory breeding pairs? And all we were trying to say was during the 30-day one bird, whatever that season is, that was the limit for resident birds just during that one period. And it didn't go anywhere. And I hope we can revisit that issue.
Okay. Let's come back to Sunday hunting for a little bit. I know you know from the beginning there, you know, in particular, there was the religious community, and there were others, but one of the most vocal was the equine community. And I would like to say that the equine community has, A, deep pockets and makes those political contributions that need to be made. And it's kind of like a three-headed monster. Until people understand what this is, they're not going to figure out why the equine community is against Sunday hunting. The three factions, and I call it the three-headed monster, in the equine community are the horse racing industry, which couldn't give a rip about Sunday hunting, the show and dressage people, who couldn't give a rip about Sunday hunting, because all they want to do is go to horse shows and show their horses and, you know, braid their manes and have them make, you know, prances and whatever kind of things they do. I don't know. I mean, I've been to them, but I don't understand the whole thing. And then you have the trail riders. And within that trail riding faction are a couple of groups. You have some activists who believe that Sunday hunting endangers their privilege to hunt or to ride on public and private lands on Sundays. It impacts them negatively. And then you have within that trail riding community, the group known as the Mounted Fox Chasers. And those two groups within the three-headed monster are the ones that are the most vociferous. Those are the ones who protesteth the most when it comes to Sunday hunting bills. A, they believe that hunters can somehow impact their ability to fox chase, and B, how, you know, it impacts their safety when it comes to riding, whether they have written permission or not. And most trail riders that I know are the nicest, friendliest people. You know, I hunt on a property owned by, partially by a lady that rides trails. There's friends of mine that are trail riders and friends of mine that are horse owners that just, you know, they're great people. And they don't get involved in this political battle. But there are activists within that trail riding community that do. So I just want to put that out there to say that is your main opposition to Sunday hunting and why. And if you subscribe to their magazine or pick up their magazine or go to their website, you will see how vocal and vociferous they are on the issue of Sunday hunting. And in most cases, they side with the Farm Bureau as far as wanting to wipe out the deer populations to take away our opportunities to hunt on Sundays. It's very garbled and in my estimation, misguided, but that's me. So I just want to throw those comments in there, Bill.
Yeah, no, that was good, Alan. I mean, you know, you pretty much nailed it. But they'll argue that they're not opposed to hunting. It's just Sunday hunting that they're opposed to.
Right.
So you have to keep in mind that 95% of all Sunday hunting in Maryland takes place on private lands. Is it not the right of the landowner? Here we go back to rights. Is it not the right of the landowner to determine who can and cannot do things on his or her property?
Exactly.
So if that landowner wants to let somebody hunt on Sundays or let the trail riders ride. That's his or her choice.
And you guys,
so that's,
you guys,
you know, that's really, you know, that's it in a nutshell in a lot of ways.
Yep.
You guys correct me if I'm wrong, but the horse folks that chase foxes and trail ride, they're not picking up the tab for wildlife management, correct?
That's no.
Correct.
No.
So you know, you're both saying the right thing. No. Their fox chasing is exempt from the definition of hunting, which would require, if they weren't exempt, to have a hunting license and written permission on their person while horseback riding, you know, on someone's property that didn't have permission or chasing fox. That's right.
Right.
You're right, Steve.
Yep.
Got it. Well, you know, Steve, you did hit on something there. They don't pay the freight. If fox chasing is not considered hunting, why, therefore, do they have to obtain a group fur bearer permit? If you and I want to shoot a coyote, we have to pay $5 when we get our license for the off chance that we're going to shoot a coyote sometime during the season when we're afield. Okay? These guys, if there's 50 dogs and 50 horses and 50 horseback riders, they need one group permit for a fur taker or fur bearer license, and it's $10 for the group. Doesn't seem quite fair to me.
I agree.
How about that? Bill, are there Sunday hunting on the wildlife management areas?
That's a good question, Alan.
Some of them there are. And I know that you were instrumental in getting Sunday hunting for wild turkey, I believe, on the Chesapeake Forest lands as well.
There are certain counties, yes. There are certain counties that again, I said, remember when I said 95% of
yes.
the deer hunting?
Well, yes.
The other 5% or 10%, you know, for government purposes, give me a little leeway there on
yeah.
the percentage. Where you can hunt on public land, you know, those can take place on wildlife management areas. So if the statute, I know, for example, in Georgia, I want to be careful exactly. The Sunday hunting law is very, you know, it's very
county specific,
but there are a handful of counties that do have Sunday hunting on public lands authorized by statute, and those are the ones that, you know, you can hunt on a wildlife management area, which is particularly set aside for that purpose. Hold on for one second, Alan. I'm going back and forth here with Delegate Ned Carey,
okay,
who is Jack's counterpart in the House.
In the House, yeah.
House co-chair.
The chair of the...
Keep your person tuned in, because I think he's trying to call in or going to call in.
410-922-6680. 410.
Yeah, I gave him the number earlier.
410-922-6680. I just texted it to you, so... All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're quickly.
I texted it to him yesterday.
Okay, we're quickly running out of time. Let me get this commercial break in, and we'll see what time we have left after that. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. All right. What do we got here? Clyde's Sports Shop. Yeah, we got to talk about Clyde's again. You can buy ammunition there, and you don't have to go through a Nick's check, a 4473 form, to get your ammunition. You just walk in and buy it right over the counter. And Clyde's is your full-line hunting and fishing dealer in Baltimore. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. They've carried the full line of Browning firearms and other makes and models of firearms and muzzle loaders and handguns. And you might want to take a look at some of those new Brownings that have come in. And they are always top of the line when it comes to firearms, and that is the company known as Browning. Now, Clyde's has ice, live bait, crab traps, trot line parts, nets, everything you need for crabbing. They have rods, reels, and lures, and terminal tackle, everything you need for fishing. So it's your complete outdoor store right there in Baltimore. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Make sure you stop by Clyde Sports Shop. Tell him you heard about him on the Outdoors and Radio Show. Makes them feel good that they are reaching the people they need to reach. That's for sure. All right. Yes, indeed, we'll do that. So, spring has sprung, and it's time to start getting ready for, you know, the summer holidays. There's Mother's Day and Father's Day, Memorial Day and 4th of July and all that. You want to have your backyard looking nice so you can invite family and friends over and have a nice crab feast like the Bill Miles family does, you know, every year. And you can, set up a grill on your, on your backyard, in your backyard or on your deck. And, you know, you can do hamburgers and hot dogs and get your crab steamer out there. Well, I'm saying all that to say this. Backyard Billy's is the place for making backyards fun. They've got colorful poly, giant selection of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, tables and chairs, Adirondack chairs. They've got swing sets and tiki bars and storage sheds. That's in Backyard Billy's backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to Maryland and Delaware beaches. Inside the showroom, Traeger grills, Big Green Egg, and Kamado Joe. Huge assortment of outdoor fire pits and rings and freestanding deck umbrellas. Browse the great-looking garden decorations and furniture for any lifestyle, theme, and budget. Patio, inside your house, outside your house, in your yard, on your deck, and Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. BackyardBilly's.com, 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Open 7 days a week. Route 50. Exit 44 near Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great, and we'll be right back.
We all want clean water. So does your community have a yucky sediment pond in the development and your homeowners association doesn't know what to do about it? Is your local golf course water hazard choking with weeds and sediment? Is your farm pond or waterfowl impoundment not friendly to fish and waterfowl anymore? What about your community pond owned by the town or county? Does your local marina have to deal with overgrown vegetation every year? If you said yes, here's the solution. Legacy Waters Environmental Services. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is a family-owned, Maryland-based company that has invested in the specialized equipment that hydraulically removes sediment and vegetation from ponds, lakes, and waterways. They use no chemicals. The fish remain alive, and the choking vegetation and invasive plants are gone. They're gone. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is dedicated to leaving the smallest possible footprint to preserve the quality of your waterway for generations to come. To learn more or schedule an appointment to review what your pond requires, visit the website legacywatersenv.com or call 410-357-1622. And you can see the job site videos on the Legacy Waters Facebook page. Call 410-357-1622 for Legacy Waters Environmental Services, leaving water better than when we found it. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, and any kind of tools. Your Linex Bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called Value Guard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex! Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand.
Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The Gun Range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition, too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
So I told my suitcases this morning that there will be no vacation this year due to COVID. And now I'm dealing with emotional baggage. Welcome, Delegate Ned Carey. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling in.
Surviving the joke.
Sorry about the joke. I had to get that in.
Well, I was going to say, are you talking about me? Because that's what my wife and I were talking about a couple of days ago.
Like, no kidding.
Vacation this year?
Yeah, exactly. Well, don't tell your suitcases. So, glad to hear from you, Delegate. We appreciate you weighing in. I know you work closely with the Hunters of Maryland, and I'm hoping you're appreciative and applauding their efforts on behalf of the hunters and anglers in Maryland.
You know, let me just start by saying, you know, I think the hunting and fishing bill, rights bill, was an important bill. And frankly, it was one of the most important bills in my legislative career, as you probably know. I came to the legislature in 2015, so I'm
yes.
in my second term. And I know that Steve and Bill are on, and, you know, those guys, too, are just not only a wealth of knowledge, but, you know, these guys help guide us, you know, talk with committee chair. You know, I talked more to Bill in the last 2 weeks of session than I did my wife.
I know that feeling.
Pushing this bill through the House and Senate. I won't say that it was an easy lift. It was a heavy lift. It was really, for me, interesting, the whole process.
Yes, indeed.
A heavy lift bill. But we did it.
Yes, we did. Yes, you did. And thank you, Delegate Ned Carey. You hear the music in the background. That means we have less than a minute left. So I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank Senator Jack Bailey for calling in, Bill Miles, advocate of Hunters of Maryland, and Steve Keithley, the founder of Hunters of Maryland. Fellas, thank you for a great show.
See you
Sorry
guys.
We didn't have more time, Delegate, but maybe next time. Give us a call and we'll be able to discuss it more.
Everybody, get out, stay safe, and pay attention to what's going on in Annapolis. You'll lose your rights if you don't.